Continue that series with a sermon on regret. We know that regret blocks what God wants us to do. The past is behind you. I want you to open your Bibles with me this morning. Amen. Ruth chapter 1. Ruth chapter. Yeah. New King James Version, this is what the Bible says. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judea, went to dwell in the country of Moab. He and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife was Naomi. And the names of the two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. Ephrates of Bethlehem, Judea, and they went to the country of Moab and remained there. Then Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. And she was left and her two sons. Now they took wives of the women of Moab, and the name of one was Orpah, and the name of the other was Ruth. And they dwelt there about 10 years. Then both Mahlon and Chilion also died. So the woman survived her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughter-in-law. That she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had visited the people, giving them bread. Therefore, she went out from the place where she was and her two daughter-in-laws with her, and they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. And Naomi said to her two daughter-in-laws, "Go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find rest, each in the house of her own husband." So she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, "Surely we will return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there still sons in my womb that may be your husbands? Turn back, my daughters, and go, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband tonight and should bear sons, would you wait for them until they have grown? No. Would you restrain yourselves from having husbands? No, my daughters. For it grieves me very much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me." Then they lifted up their voices and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. And she said, "Look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people and your God my God. Where you die, I will die. There I will be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death parts you and me." When she saw that she was determined to go with her, she stopped speaking to her. Now the two of them went until they came to Bethlehem. And it happened that when they had come to Bethlehem, that all the city was excited because of them. And the women said, "It is Naomi." But she said to them, "Do not call me Naomi. Call me Mara. For the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord has brought me home again empty. How do you call me Naomi, since the Lord has testified against me, and the Almighty has afflicted me?" Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I come to you right now, and I thank you and I praise you for your power and your anointing. And Lord, I pray that you would allow me to preach this message in a way that's understandable, in a way where we can wipe out regret from blocking your light in our life. Send us your redeeming power and your redeeming grace in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Buckle your seatbelts and hang on. I'm going to try to preach this fast. Don't worry about it. The other churches will fill up the restaurants before we get there. I am excited when I read this story. I'm not excited about the pain of it. I'm excited about how real it is. And many of us struggle with regret and looking back. The first thing I want to point out to you is I want to point out Naomi. Naomi, this name, this mother that we're talking about, means pleasantness. She was her name meant that things were pleasant. Her life seemed to say anything but. Her name, and in those days, names were important. You didn't get named just to get named. You get named because they meant something. And we talk about this over and over in sermons, especially from the Old Testament, how names are important. She was named Pleasantness. She was intended to be pleasant. She was a nice lady. She was so nice that we find when she come back, everybody was excited, Naomi's back! Now I'm going to tell you, I've went places and left and went back, and somebody went, oh. But I've seen Beth go back places she's been before, and everybody's like, oh, look, it's Beth. Oh, she's so sweet. Let me tell you something. Naomi was a pleasant woman. But Naomi had some trials in her life. How many of you have ever had a trial? I know some of you, everything's always went perfect. People like Sister Wanda, I mean, everything has just fallen right in line for her whole life. Didn't happen that way for Naomi. Naomi had a husband. Oh, man. She got married. She met Elimelech, and man, he was a great guy. He cared for her. He looked out for her. She had two sons. Her marriage produced a family. She had two sons. I'm going to tell you, I don't know if it's a blessing or a curse, being the father of two sons. Wow. I'm going to tell you, when you're daddy and you got two boys, you have some good times, and then you have some pull out your hair times. And so, you know, but she understood the pleasantness of a marriage. She understood the pleasantness of two sons. Then she had two daughter-in-laws. Dream. I'm just dreaming that one of these days I'll have a daughter-in-law. I've seen both of my boys. I ain't holding that much hope for either one of them. But I'm going to tell you something. She had the joy of a wedding. She had the joy of bringing. Can you imagine this woman? Some of you ladies know where I'm at. I know my wife understands this. You raise two boys. And we prayed for boys. We didn't want girls. We were youth pastors too long. And I said, I do not want a teenage girl living in my house. They're of the devil. You're not of the devil. You just get mean. All my teenage girls are looking at me like, you're not really of the devil. You're just mean. I didn't want a teenage girl in my house. But now I'm 40 years old. And my boys are almost grown. And I didn't ever get to spoil a daughter. See, a daughter in my house would have been miserable. Or she would have been happy, but everybody else would have been miserable. Because daddy would have gave her everything and anything she wanted. She would have been spoiled beyond measure. And one of these days, hopefully, I'm going to get a daughter-in-law. Guess what? I'm going to spoil her rotten. Why? Because I never got to have a daughter. And imagine Naomi as she's like, I finally have the young ladies to be with me that I can teach and that I can train. And so she had all these things and things were going good. But then she had issues. Circumstances, situations. All of a sudden, everything in her life began to be one of those stories. What happened was you know, I was going to do this, but issues came up. There's a lot of circumstances. A lot of stuff happened. Life is great until stuff happens. Life is great until circumstances arise. Life is great until you got an issue. Life is great until there's a situation. I never find people that get upset because everything was going along and there was no situations. No, when you got a situation comes up, everything changes. She had issues, circumstances, and situations. She lost her husband. She went through the pain and the grief of burying the one she chose to live her life with. They've lived through a famine. They've left their home. And now her husband's dead. Praise God, she's still got the two boys. She's still got the daughter-in-laws. But then all of a sudden, she lost her sons. Now she's just alone. Her and these two girls that she's only known, we know she's known them less than 10 years. And she begins to look back and remember what it was like when her husband was alive. I remember when my grandfather died, my grandmother stayed with us quite a bit. And I remember at night I would hear my grandmother for years cry herself to sleep just about every night, longing and missing her husband. The tears. Some of you have been through that. And then she lost her sons. To lose a husband, to lose a spouse, is one thing. To lose a child is outside the normal order. Parents are supposed to outlive their children. Some of you have already faced the pain of losing a child. I can't imagine. Can't imagine that pain. Then you look out and all you've got is the girls. Then she tells them, I want you to leave. Why did she tell them to leave? Number one, she's trying to be nice to them. Number two, she wanted to be alone. When you begin to live in regret, when you begin to look back and you begin to say, I had all this stuff, but I lost it, then you start trying to get rid of everything else you got. Because you can't be depressed and have anything that brings you joy. Come on now. When you're living in regret, you begin to find ways to sabotage everything else around you. I don't want you to care for me because I used to be happy and I'm not happy anymore because it didn't work the way I wanted it to work and I regret the things that have happened, so I don't want to be happy anymore. Some of you are living there, folks. You need to listen. She spoke to her daughter-in-laws and she said, go back home. Orpha got up and kissed her mother-in-law and went back home. But Ruth held on, says, I'm not going anywhere. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Where you eat, I will eat. Where you die, I will die. There's nothing but death is going to separate us. Basically, Ruth stood up and said, you stuck with me. I read something. I noticed something as I was reading scripture this morning I've never noticed before, even in preparing this sermon. The Bible says that when Naomi saw that Ruth was determined, she didn't speak to her anymore. Now, I think I know the implication. The implication is she didn't speak of her leaving anymore. But There is a line there that almost makes you think, I could see her going, fine, if you ain't leaving, follow me quiet. Because that's what we do when we live in regret. Now we know as reading on through, she did speak to her later on. But I'm telling you something, I can guarantee Naomi was not excited about Ruth staying around. Why? Because Naomi was wallowing in regret. Naomi was looking back at the past instead of looking forward to the future. Naomi had the light of God snuffed out of her life because she was full of regret and pain. Regret made Naomi Mara. When she got back to Bethlehem, everybody was excited to see her, and they said, "Oh, it's Naomi." And Naomi said, "Don't call me Naomi." You ever talk to somebody that's in regret? Everything they say has an edge to it. "Don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara. Because the Lord has dealt bitterly with me." Mara means bitter. She had become bitter because she was regretting the things that had happened in her life. She was regretting the circumstances, regretting the situations. "I got a disease. I lost my husband. I lost my kids. This happened, that happened, the other happened." And we get bitter. God doesn't care about me. If God really cared, he would have fixed it. You got to ask God to fix it before he can fix it.
Amen.
All of a sudden, Naomi says, "I don't want to be called pleasant anymore. I want you to call me bitter. I don't want to be who I was meant to be. Instead, I want to be who I want to be." You see, God never intends us to be bitter. We become bitter because we're so full of regret and pain and sorrow about the past that we lose sight of who God has called us to be in the present. "I'm not pleasant anymore. I'm bitter. I'm bitter because God did this to me." When you read this scripture, she doesn't blame Elimelech. She doesn't blame him for leaving. Heard one preacher preach, Bethlehem means house of bread. Elimelech left the house of bread looking for bread. There's a sermon in there. He left their homeland, drugged them away, took her away. She didn't blame him. She blamed God. "God sent the famine. God killed my husband. God killed my boys. God made me miserable." I'm going to tell you, God didn't make you miserable. The way you look at your circumstances and look at your situations, that's what makes you miserable. That's what eclipses God's love out of your life. But we insist on sitting around blaming God. "God has been bitter to me. God has raised his hand against me." God didn't raise his hand against you. You need to learn to trust God. You need to learn to let God flow through you. God has got a purpose for you. I look, this week we had our men's breakfast and we got talking about Moses. And we were talking about the fact that Moses was 80 years old when he saw the burning bush. That means that the Ten Commandments, the design of the temple, the design of the Ark of the Covenant, all of the leading the children out of Egypt, all the things that we read about in most of the stories we talk about Moses, he was 80 years old plus. "Oh, but Pastor, he lived 120. Can I tell you, that argument doesn't fly anymore. I saw a report this week that by the year 2050, one out of every five people in America will be over 65, according to one research study. And get this one. This one blows my mind. It is expected that there will be 400,000 people in America over the age of 100. Beth will be one of them. No, she won't be over 100 yet. Let me tell you something. You know what that means? You know what that means? That means that we're living longer. Through medical and through healthy living and all that, we're living longer. If you look back, we're living longer than most of a lot of our grandparents and great-grandparents did. Now, I had great-grandparents that lived into their 90s. I don't know how I may live to my 200s. I don't know. Now, why do you point all this out? Because I'm telling you, some of you are sitting in this room right now and you go, well, I'm too old to be used by God. I missed my chance. Baloney. I need Gunner here today. Here he is. Baloney. Gunner likes it when I say baloney. But there is nobody in here that's too old to work for God. There's nobody in here that doesn't still have a call. But you got to quit looking back at what happened in the past. You got to quit looking at what you missed and see what you're about to miss if you don't get your eyes on Christ. Mara means bitter. She became bitter because of her past. She became bitter because of her circumstance. Oh, but I got a news for you. Regret ends with the Redeemer. Naomi came back with Ruth. Ruth went out to glean some food out of the field. They would go in and they would let the poor come in after the reapers, and they would gather what was left behind. And Boaz saw her and went, who is that? Yes. And the Bible says he went down and he told his harvesters, his reapers, leave a few handfuls on purpose. Oh, Dr. Hill, our general overseer, he could preach 6 months on the book of Ruth. And he's preached about handfuls on purpose so many times. I've heard great sermons. How that they would purposely leave stuff for. And God comes down and purposely will leave things for us to glean and leave things for us to glean. Ruth goes back and tells Naomi what's going on, and Naomi says, you know, he is a relative. And so they began to set him up. Come on now, read the story. They set the man up. And finally he says, let me go down. There is a kinsman closer than me. And he goes to the city gate. And he talks to that one that was closer. And he says, unless it's your intentions to redeem Naomi's family, allow me to step in. The term we use is as a kinsman, redeemer. Let me be the one who brings back what they had. Let me be the one that steps in and what was lost to this family comes back. Oh, I've got news for you. The regret that you live in this life ends when the Redeemer, King of Kings, Jesus Christ, stepped up on a cross and said, oh, Father, let me hang on a cross and let me carry their sins and let me redeem them from the pain. Let me redeem them from their heartache. Let me make it like it didn't happen. Let me pay the price. Boaz became the kinsman redeemer as a type of Christ, a picture of Christ redeeming us from sin. Then I want you to look at this passage of Scripture. Verse 4, verse 13 says this. So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. And he went into her, and the Lord gave her conception, and she bore a son. Then the women said to Naomi, blessed be the Lord who has not left you this day without a close relative. And may his name be famous in Israel. Look at this one. And may he be to you a restorer of life and nourisher of your old age. For your daughter-in-law who loves you, who is better to you than seven sons, has bore him. Then Naomi took the child and laid him on her bosom and became a nurse to him. Also the neighbor women gave him the name, saying, "This is a son born," not to Ruth, not to Boaz, not to the Redeemer, not to the Restorer. "This is a son born to Naomi." And they called his name Obed, and he was the father of Jesse, the father of David. Now this is the genealogy. Perez begot Hezron. Hezron begot Ram. Ram begot Abinadab. Abinadab begot Nashon. Nashon begot Solomon. Solomon begot Boaz. Boaz begot Obed. Obed begot Jesse. And Jesse begot David. All of a sudden, you follow that genealogy on down, and Naomi Pleasantness, who had changed her name to Bitterness because of regret when she allowed the Redeemer to come in and open her eyes, when she allowed God to come in and drive the regret out, and instead of looking back, she began to look forward. She could look forward, and as she looked down the line of her family tree, she looked down the line of what God was preparing for her. She not only saw King David, the great king of Israel's history, but as she looked forward, she saw Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who was a seed of David. I've got news for you. You can live in regret and look at what you lost in the past, or you can turn around under the vision of the Redeemer and see what God's going to send you in your future. And I got news for everyone in this building. Your future looks better than your past. We live in a church. Well, sometimes it feels like we live in a church. We attend a church, and we've got a past. Man, we've had some great things, and we've had some bad things. We filled up a building. Some of you were around, couldn't even seat people in that building. You talk about parking issues. Before you bought all these things, I know you had parking issues. I was here when that church was like that, visiting. There was no room to park anything. We built a nice, big, new building. We've went up and we've went down. We've went up and we've went down. I've been here, hard to believe, almost 5 years. Before I got here, you had a pastor that died. That's heartache. That's pain. Then you got a weirdo come in to be your pastor. I'm just gonna shoot straight. If everybody that left the church, a lot of them, not all of them, but a lot of them because I was weird. If everybody that left church was still here, we'd be two or three services now. A year ago, we were about to go to two services. You know why? Parking. We were about to go to two services a year ago because we had grown so much. And then God called. And God called our youth pastor to go pastor another church in town. I don't regret Bradley going across town. Me and Bradley are still close. It blows everybody's mind. It cracks me up, Kabila. You and Bradley talk? Yeah. We sent our Sunday school classes and children's church sent a card to Lex last Sunday, I guess it was. In case you don't know, Lex broke his leg a couple weeks ago. He's doing good, though. He was at one night of our VBS. And we had a group of people that went with Pastor Bradley that I completely understood. Here we go again, starting over. But I'm going to tell you, we got another group of people that came in about the same time. Yeah. And then we got another group of people, and we keep getting new people and new faces and new people and new faces. We have people that are grabbing a hold of the ministry of evangelism. Me and Brother Mike, we're going to start working on evangelism explosion together. Matter of fact, if you're interested in going through evangelistic explosion, see me. Because we're willing to have a few other people sort of go through that with us. What's evangelism? It's an old program. But it's an old program where you go out and you share the gospel through your lifestyle. And when your lifestyle starts to work, you know what to say. We got evangelists like Rose. Bragged about you last Sunday night. Now you're here. I'm going to brag about you again. Rose is reaching people I can't touch. I think last Sunday she came in with like 5 people. Why? Because she's not afraid. She's just, and if you ask Rose, she'll go, I don't do anything. Yeah, she just does. When we quit worrying about the past and we start looking to the future, in our past, there were some good people. In our future is a returning king.
Come on, Pastor.
In our past was some fun services, but in our future is worship around the throne. In our past, we reached some people and touched some lives, but in our future, we're going to be crowned as victorious, and we're going to be crowned as overcomers, and we're going to worship Him with our crowns at His feet. I got news for you. Our future is so much brighter than our past. Regret has no place to eclipse the light of God in our life. Forgetting what is behind me, I put my gaze on the future and I set my eyes on the prize for which I was called. I got news for you, church. We will never fulfill the power and the anointing God has for our life like this.
Come on now, try. Come on.
Because when we live like this, when I'm looking here, I can see everything. When I'm looking here, I can see from about right there over. You know what that means? I don't see the dirt that was here. Well, because I can't see it looking back. That's why we always talk about the good old days. Think about it, folks. Think about those good old days. They wasn't as good as we'd like to make them out to be. I don't want to go back to the good old days. I don't want to go back. Man, I miss being a teenager. Because when I was a teenager, I didn't have to pay any bills. But I'm going to tell you right now, I wouldn't relive my teen years if you paid me $1 million. It's hard. Some of us old fogies, We need to quit whining and moaning and complaining about how bad this next generation is, and we need to start getting behind them because they're living the toughest time of life there is. And instead of regretting what we didn't do when we were their age, we need to start supporting them so they can be where we want them to be. We need to quit whining and moaning about the millennials, and millennials are going to destroy everything. Yeah, they are if we don't help them. But if we look back and we love them, and we show them care. You know why we look back at younger generations and we're usually bitter to them? Because we look back at them, we see what we wish we had known. We see what we wish we had had. How many times, well, when I was a kid, we didn't have it easy like you got it. My daddy had whipped my backside for what you just did. Well, instead of... Instead of regretting what your daddy did, maybe try whipping your kid's backside. Yeah, I said it out loud. I'm going to tell you something. Instead of looking back and wishing you had the advantage that they have, come back and put your arm around them and say, hey, let me show you how to use that advantage. Let me show you what you can do with that. I got news that they ain't always going to listen. And when they don't listen, you just love them anyway. Because they'll remember it eventually. Pastor, how'd you get on parenting? Because we look back with regret and we wonder why we didn't do something. It's because we're too busy looking back and grandizing things instead of looking forward to see what God's got in store. I want us as a church to quit looking back. We're about to go into some stuff. We're about to go into some spiritually, physically, financially. We're about to go into some stuff. A couple weeks ago we had a business meeting. Tomorrow night I've got a council meeting. And we're going to be talking about what we found on finances and what we think we can do and what we think we might be able to do. And one of those things is going to be, if this progresses and we think we can do it, we're not there yet. I'm not saying we're doing this yet. One of the things that we're probably going to want to do, some people are going to be like, praise God. And some other people are going to be going, really? I don't know. Because one of the things that will be in the mix is that we'll be tearing down the little building. And for some people, it'll be like, yes. Pastor Brian won't have to weed his sanctuary anymore. I mean, literally grass grows up in the side of the wall. But there's other people. That's where your salvation came. That church meant something. And I understand that. But if we look back, instead of looking forward, we're going to miss what God has. If we look back, I'm going to tell you, I don't know how this is all going to work. But I am telling you this. God's got a plan. And we've got a choice whether we're going to look back and regret what we missed. If we're going to look forward and let our Redeemer carry our path. Personally, in your family, in our church, we cannot let regret eclipse God's light in our life. Let's bow our heads together. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I come to you right now and I thank you for your power. I thank you for your grace through many dangers, toils, and snares. I have already come. Lord, your grace has brought me through every one of them. But Lord, I don't look back at those things. But rather I set my gaze and I set my sight on that heavenly anointing that will lead me through the rest of this earthly life and eventually to praising you around your throne for 10,000 years and further. Let your power direct us. Let your love guide us. We give you glory and we give you honor. Break the regret in our life. And let the light of your future shine in our heart. In Jesus' name, amen.